From the studios of KPCW in Park City, this is Cool Science Radio.
Science and technology that's accessible and entertaining.
If we can understand it, you can understand it.
I'm Lynn Ware Peake.
And I'm John Wells. Our next guest, Dr. Neil deGrasse Tyson. Neil has attracted one of the world's largest online followings with his fascinating, widely accessible insights into science and our universe. Lynn and I spoke with Neil about his new book, Letters from an Astrophysicist. The book chronicles his correspondence with people who have sought him out in search of answers about science, faith, philosophy, and life. Lynn and I taped this conversation with Neil last week, and we're going to play it for you now. Neil, welcome to Cool Science Radio.
Thanks for having me. I think it's my first time on the show.
It is, and it's great to have you. Hey, your latest book, Letters from an Astrophysicist, it's your correspondence with people around the world, handpicked collection of 101 letters that they've written to you. You've written back to them, answering their questions about all sorts of stuff, science, faith, philosophy, life, and a little sensitive about this, Pluto.
Get over it.
I will. I have gotten over it, finally.
Okay. No, he hasn't.
But anyway, tell us why you wrote this book.
Well, it was over the years, I've written letters to people who had wrote in. There was a period of time, about 10 years, where my email was findable. You had to click a few times, but it was there, and motivated people would find it, and they write in with questions. About half were straightforward science questions, and I have staff that could field those and reply under their own name and say my workload is too high. Other questions were in response to very specific things I said or did, or they were, people felt that they were at a decision point in their life and wondered what insight I could bring to them in that moment. So those letters formed a special set relative to the total number that I collected together, and the best 101 of those letters are in this book.
Mm. And, Neil, I would say I was so surprised, I guess, at the way it was organized. You start off, you divide it into parts, but the first part is ethos. And your first chapter is about hope. And it's about, for example, a baseball player, a professional baseball player who wants to be a scientist. And I felt myself getting really emotional in this coffee shop as I'm reading it. I actually had to get up and leave.
Wow.
So yeah, it was really moving. Why did you organize it like that?
I didn't know how to organize. I just had all these random letters, and I said, is this organizable at all? So I sort of scattered them out on the floor, and I said, okay, this is a parent wondering what to do with their kids. Let me put that aside. This is an angry letter. Maybe I should have a chapter of hate mail, which there is. There was another one where people just have they have a dream about what they want to happen in their life. They don't know how to best engage it. They don't know if the school is right for them or what they should study or should they study at all. So I had them sort of organize themselves organically. And it ended up in those, there are 12 chapters, and organized into four sections, grouping them by theme. But yes.
If you're just joining us on Cool Science Radio, we're having a conversation with Neil deGrasse Tyson. Neil, I wanted to ask, I want to read one of the letters. Monday, June 18th, 2012, it's a short letter. Dear Dr. Neil deGrasse Tyson, I'm writing to deeply apologize for a nasty but stern coloring I sent to you 12 years ago when I was 10 years old, calling you a, in quotations, big poo-poo head, quotations closed, for demoting Pluto as a planet. Please accept my sincere apologies, for I am a huge fan of your work, and I deeply regret hurting your feelings with such vicious and harsh words. Sincerely, Michael Hoto.
That one, what intrigued me about that letter is just how deadpan it is. It's like 12 years ago, I called you a big poo-poo head when I was 10. And so, I think he's sincerely apologetic. And I just felt that was a letter that needed to be in there. So that letter is way more interesting than my reply in that particular case.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I kept in the entire letter. So yeah, so that was there are two letters that were angry people about. People were angry about Pluto, and one of them was from a third grader who was just really, why did you do this? How could you possibly? Why did you do that? And it goes on and on and on and on and on. And we reproduce it in facsimile, so you can see the misspellings and
the handwriting
and the handwriting curves downward as usual. And it ends by saying, "Please write back, but not in cursive. I don't know how to read cursive yet." It's the cutest thing. But so that's actually in the hate mail chapter.
I saw it.
And so there's quite a diversity of topics. But what they all have in common is a sincere need or an urge to have whatever is my perspective shed light on their perspective, be it from a cosmic perspective or as a parent, as a scientist. And I thought about it and I realized that most people have never even met a scientist in their life, much less be able to claim one as their friend. So if you have some important decision in your life and you want to get all points of view, getting the point of view of a scientist could be quite illuminating. Our brains are wired a little differently. Our way of thinking comes from different places. And my sense was people viewed me as their best friend, even though we'd never got any closer than over the TV screen.
It's funny. I was going to say, I feel like I already know you, so it's no big deal interviewing you. But I have, and it's
I
what
love that.
You must hear that a lot. And I have to tell you, about 15 minutes ago, I was sitting in my car before I came in, and I texted my 21 and 24 year old sons, knowing that I would impress them. I said, "Guess who I'm about to interview? Neil deGrasse Tyson." And they both exclaimed via text message. And they said, "What are you going to ask him?" And I said, "What do you think I should ask him?" And so various text messages came in, like, "Who's he going to vote for? What's his favorite beer? And what's his best one-line fact about astrophysics?" But then here's the question I thought I really would ask you. What is the single biggest threat to the human race?
I've thought about this deeply, and it is the biggest threat is our collective reluctance to, and actually it's not everyone, but you know who you are when I say this, our collective reluctance to heed the warnings of scientists regarding how to become shepherds of our own civilization. That is the greatest threat.
Yeah, well said.
It's why we have science. Science is a way to find out what is objectively true in the world. It's what has enhanced our health, our wealth, our security over the ages. And so the rise, the anti-intellectual rise, on top of the anti-scientific sentiment that permeates that, is the greatest risk to civilization of them all.
And we couldn't agree more on Cool Science Radio. You know, there's one question I ask every one of our guests. I'm going to have to ask you, of course. I'm going to ask you one question that that has not been answered that you would like to have answered. You can go anywhere. You can go astrophysics, paleontology, baseball. You can go the nature of consciousness. What one question would you like to have answered that has not been answered?
Well, I have four questions, not just one. You're making me pick my children, right?
Yeah.
These unanswered questions are children, right? They are. The frontier that excites the scientists to jump out of bed each morning and run to the lab to try to solve it. So I would collectively include, I'd like to, before I die, know what the nature of dark matter is. We measure it out there in the universe. We have no idea what it is. It's 85% of all the gravity of the universe. We don't know what dark energy is. That is the mysterious pressure in the vacuum of space that is forcing the universe to expand, to accelerate in its expansion against the wishes of the collective gravity of all of the galaxies. We can measure it. We don't know what's causing it. I want to know how we went from organic molecules to self-replicating life. That is a biological frontier about which I like paying close attention to, because once you figure that out, we can now look in environments in the universe to see where it might be more or less likely to have occurred elsewhere. And one, to round out the set of four, I want to know what was around before the universe, before the Big Bang. And we have top people in all of these categories working on it, but I just hope we find it before I die. And then, for a fifth question, it's the question I don't yet know to ask, because it would only arise once those other questions are answered.
And there you go.
That's actually the question that keeps me awake at night.
Neil, I want to go to this chapter on to believe or not to believe. Yes. Mm-hmm. And this reading list, this was back in 2011. It was on Reddit. You were asked what book should be read by every intelligent person on the planet. And you come up with some obvious ones: On the Origin of Species, Charles Darwin, The System of the World, Isaac Newton, The Wealth of Nations, Adam Smith. But number one is the Bible. Talk to us about that.
Well, I remember composing that list. And what happens is I have this sort of love-hate relationship with atheists, because they want to claim me as their own. But occasionally I say things that they say, I thought you were an atheist. Why would you say that? So then I say, well, I guess I'm not an atheist.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a matter of, what does an atheist say? What does an atheist think? And what does an atheist do? And if my favorite Broadway musical of all times is Jesus Christ Superstar, are you going to take away, you know, atheist credentials if that's the case? I once said in my Facebook, I had a friend going up on the space shuttle to repair the Hubble, and I said, Godspeed, space shuttle astronauts. And someone said, I thought you were an atheist. So I'm tired of having those arguments. In fact, there's a letter in there where I'm arguing with someone who was angry with me for using BC and AD in time reckoning for the calendar. He'd say, we need to anchor this in science, not in some fantasy religion, blah, 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 blah. And I spent a fair amount of time defending the use of BC and AD because of the effort put in to establish the Gregorian calendar, which was heroic at a time before the telescope was invented, to correct the Julian calendar, to make sure the calendar doesn't fall out of sync with the seasons. I give props where it is, and if it happened to have been religious, there it is. I have no hesitation doing so. So the number one recommended book was the Bible. You read that, you will gain insights into what has been driving culture and politics since the dawn of Western civilization. Don't you want insights into it that you might not have otherwise had?
Yeah.
Then read the Bible right off the top. There it is. And then other books. Again, remember the assignment. The assignment was, what are the most important books to have read for an educated person to claim that they are fully educated? I put it as number one.
Perfect. The book is titled Letters from an Astrophysicist, Neil deGrasse Tyson. Neil, thanks so much for joining us on Cool Science Radio.
Oh, no, thanks for having me.
Thanks, Neil.
And again, that was Neil deGrasse Tyson. We taped that conversation last Friday, actually. I was speaking with a publicist and arranging for this interview, and she told me that he was going to be in California doing some other interviews. And after we finished our conversation with Neil, we were talking a little bit, and I asked him what he was doing in California. And he told us that right after our interview, he was going to be sitting down with Elon Musk. That'd be a great conversation to have, to set up. And love to interview him sometime. And then later that evening, he was on HBO's Real Time with Bill Maher. I think Neil really enjoys his work. Thanks for tuning in to Cool Science Radio. If you missed part of the show or you want to share it, all our shows are posted within the hour on kpcw.org. under the Shows tab.
We also podcast all of KPCW's Public Affair Hour shows wherever you find your podcasts, so you can find them under KPCW and the individual show name.
So look for KPCW Cool Science Radio and take us with you on your next road trip or commute.